Like, do you need a minute?
No, I just like talking to you guys. I get excitable when I talk too much, so, which is great for a podcast.
Now that you guys are holding hands, you guys want to sing like Kumbaya?
Can we do
or
that?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, you guys can do whatever you want. I mean, whatever, man. What?
Dance, monkey dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm Brandon.
And Kristen.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm just always laughing.
Why? No. When I started that, yeah. You started laughing. What the
oh,
fuck?
Because, well, first of all, I'm just closed your throat right in the microphone, which I assume you're going to cut, so nobody's yeah.
No, there's no cuts.
No cuts, no butts, no coconuts.
And then, at that point, you just went into announcer voice, which you laugh every time I do that.
Well, if you've been doing this for 317 episodes.
It's not like you're like, hey, this is Chris.
Wait a minute. Hang on. We lost Kristen again for some reason.
Oh, ooh. No. Kristen.
Hello.
Plug her back in.
Man.
There you go.
Hey.
All right. Shitty cable. Sorry.
No, I laugh.
Okay.
I laugh at you the same way that you laugh at me.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Is it the same way?
Like Kristen said, I've been doing this. This is episode 317, and I'm pretty sure I've done it for all of 312. There's been a couple where...
Really? You weren't in a few?
No, I've been in all of them, but like the ones where I'm by myself or like...
Or you forget.
Or John and I get talking and we're just like, well, fuck the intro.
Couldn't you just arrange a few talking points?
No. That's the whole idea
of the
show.
That's organization.
The whole idea of the show is not to have...
This is dancing.
Yeah, not for nobody to be prepared.
This is what I was telling Brooke. I was telling Brooke the other day. Brooke asked me last night. She goes, you know, what about the podcast? You know, I enjoyed doing it. I was like, yeah. I was like, I love coming over here and hanging out with you and doing the podcast because I don't have to do anything other than show up.
Right.
And hope that my phone doesn't die.
And talk. Yeah. Okay, but tonight, because it is night.
It was day.
Whatever. We are talking about a movie. We haven't done this in a long time. We used to do what we called the movie edition of Dance Monkey Dance, mm-hmm. Where we would talk a whole hour about one specific movie or I think we did a trilogy once.
Ooh.
I think we did the Indiana Jones trilogy in an hour. Yeah.
Whoa.
But there are four of them.
No, there's only three.
Oh, we don't count the last one.
No.
But come 2020, monkeys, there'll be five of them.
Monkeys and aliens don't count as an Indiana Jones movie. I'm sorry. But anyway, so we're resurrecting that. We have plans to do that with other films, but due to things that happened this past weekend, I wasn't able to like rewatch and catch up and
can we do that
make
next
sure
week?
Yes, we're going to do that next
okay.
week. or 2 weeks, whatever.
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it comes up. Yeah. So, movie that just came out, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is the 15th, I think, Marvel movie?
Here we go. One, two, three.
I am
I
grouped.
Think it's actually the 17th or 18th. Because I think there are 22 movies, Marvel movies, that are going to come before, counting Infinity War, before Phase 4 happens.
Okay.
Maybe I'm incorrect.
Do you want me just to look this?
We just name them off. Iron Man.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Iron Man?
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 3.
Wait. Do you want to go in chronological order, or do you want to go?
Let's group them.
Okay.
Yeah. Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Then there's Captain America: First Avenger, Captain America: Winter Soldier, Captain America:
Civil War.
Right. And then there is Thor.
Thor: The Dark World.
Thor: Ragnarok.
And then Ragnarok.
That doesn't count because it's not out yet.
Because it comes out before Infinity War.
No, I'm talking about
now. Okay. It's not
now.
Out yet.
I gotcha.
Okay. I took it away.
Then
we're
you're
at
talking
eight.
About Guardians
1.
Incredible Hulk.
Guardians 2.
Wait a second.
Wait, don't count Guardians 2 yet.
Ant-Man.
Incredible Hulk.
Ant-Man.
Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah.
Are there any?
So that's
17.
Avengers.
Avengers.
Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Right.
So how many is that?
That's
is that 14?
14. Okay. So we're 14. On. 15.
So this is 15. Right. This is number 15. See what? Why are you doubting me?
I'm not.
God damn.
But he's wrong.
So this is the 15th entry
miscounted
into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
Out of all of the groups of movies, I guess,
mm-hmm.
if I had to arrange them, Guardians is probably my favorite.
Even though Captain America's the best.
So says you.
There will be a civil now, war. That
now,
will
as
break
we
out now.
As we discussed last week, I have a very narrow focus, and if you put together comic books, spaceships, and talking fucking raccoons, this is my wheelhouse.
Love.
Yes.
It's also a weird acid dream that I had one time.
Yeah, well, that shit happens too.
Then
but
there's Zoe Saldana.
I think that's why I like Winter Soldier so much.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's got that espionage element.
Well, that was their espionage film.
But like, it worked so well. That's the movie for me that I think proved just take whatever your movie is and do whatever the hell it is inside the movie.
You loved Peggy.
Like Ant-Man can be like a crime thriller.
Right.
You know, you can do, you know, big action pieces can be your Avengers movies.
Right. So Volume 2 is obviously the sequel to Volume 1.
Wait, Spider-Man?
Homecoming
is not out yet. Okay,
that's
sorry.
7-7.
And that's, while it's technically the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
it does count inside of the Marvel
Cinematic
Universe. It does,
but
it's
it hasn't
not,
come out yet, so we won't count.
But it's also not a total product of
Sony
of Marvel. Sony,
which really
is their
pisses me off,
is
part of the Avengers
doing like Silver Sable
and
Venom as two movies that are not part of the cinematic universe.
Right.
This makes me think, before we get into Guardians,
uh-huh.
that they're possibly going to bring back Fantastic Four into the fold.
I hope not.
Why?
It's time to let it die.
No, I think there's a good Fantastic Four movie out there.
They've tried so many things.
They'd have to reboot it again.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with Spider-Man, and Tom Holland's Spider-Man is every bit as good as Andrew Garfield's.
Well, okay, I will give you this. If it's Marvel Studios in control...
That's what I mean.
Then they can pretty much do whatever character they want.
I think that's... I would... Unless they're going back to the original set of terrible movies, which I kind of enjoy, from 2004, 2008, or whatever it is... then yeah, I think like you, they would want to reboot it as part of the overall.
I would like a scene with Johnny Storm meeting Captain America, and just having Captain America go, "Why do you look so familiar?"
Oh, that would
that's
be really
hilarious.
Great. I was like, I would want to see Johnny Storm as Spider-Man.
He would he would be saying hello to himself.
Yeah,
but yeah,
hello me.
It's funny.
Yeah, like not to switch to TV, but like. I want a scene on Legends of Tomorrow where they wind up on the Earth with Superman and the Atom show up being Brandon Routh and looking at Superman and being like, wait a minute.
Oh, I really want that. Like 616 and 632?
Yeah. I mean, they did something similar in the crossover where he says, you look just like my cousin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was
it's
great.
Funny.
But
why is he the best... Why is Taylor Hawkner the best Superman?
Let's try that sentence again.
Why is he the best Superman, like, on television to date, I think?
I don't know.
He's really good.
I don't know.
I like Smallville.
I think it's done in small
increments.
Doses. It's not, you know, he's not carrying the episode. He's letting Kara, like, fight the battles, and he's just there as backup.
Yeah. But I like that. Guardians, sorry.
But yes, we're going to talk about Guardians.
Back to raccoons.
So I guess the first question for you all is, what did you guys think of the first film? Where do you place that in the pantheon of the Marvel movies?
Oh, I loved it.
I think it's probably in the top five, if not the top three.
Yeah, I'd say top three.
Because I think they're exceptional movies. There's Avengers 1.
Right.
This is in no particular order. Avengers 1, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Guardians. I think those are the three most solid films all the way through. No, and Iron Man.
What about Doctor Strange?
It's a good film, but it's not.
I don't think Doctor Strange touches the top
I would say
five.
Top five for me, personally.
I think, like, if you give it a little bit of time to percolate, the next one It's not a home run like the first Guardians was.
Okay. Guardians is my favorite out of all of them, followed closely by the first Iron Man.
Okay.
And then maybe the first Avengers.
How do you not love Winter Soldier? It's the best structure of all. I like
Winter Soldier. I'm not saying that it's a bad movie. It's one of my favorites, but top three would be the other ones.
Avengers 1 was just the bomb. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, it set a huge bar for everything else that came
which is, I think, what was so cool about, for me, Winter Soldier, that, like, you see the Avengers, I'm like, okay, I'm really interested to kind of see what the... Because I love Captain America, First Avenger. But, you know, I feel like I enjoyed that movie.
Well, and it was one of those things that had never been done before. You had never assembled that many superheroes and given them that many, like, that much screen time and been able to tell stories for each of them. And, like, Joss Whedon had just crafted that in a Joss Whedon way of, like...
Yeah.
Being able to write for all of them, so it's
crashed and burned in Ultron.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's all his fault.
I think
that's Marvel getting too involved.
Yes and no.
Joss is a director, and Marvel, for their filmmaking endeavors, gives a lot of what a director would normally do to Kevin Feige.
Yeah,
and I think when you're a director and you've made all your movies with all the control, and then you step into a Marvel movie and they're like, we're going to do this for you.
But he made like two movies before that. One or two?
Yeah, but think of all the stuff that he had done on television. And like,
he had done plenty of television.
All of the stuff that he had been used to, he then had your producer take away and be like, we're going to edit this. Whoopsie, I did it. Ha-ha.
I won.
You're contagious.
So they said, we're going to edit this for you and we're going to make the decisions about...
Yeah.
What works and what doesn't.
But that's like anything.
And that, but no, but...
Any director. I mean,
you
know...
But that's got to grate on you to lose that much control.
Yeah, especially when you had it before.
So. Yeah.
I also think the guy who was actually in control of the television section now was in control of the film section then. So while Kevin Feige was involved, he wasn't the sole proprietor.
Right.
So I think, like, he's basically the guy that just... That was put in charge of that because Ultron did, at times, lack... some quality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think that's why. I think there's too many cooks in the kitchen at that point. And I think if you have... I think James Gunn is very comfortable with stepping back and being like, you're a new pair of eyes. Tell me how to make this better.
He came from trauma, for God's
sake. Right, exactly. So...
Lloyd Kaufman was there.
So, right, exactly. Lloyd would be there to be like...
He was literally there in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. So... I think he's much more comfortable and they can look at Guardians and say, here's some things that we want to push up. Here's some things that we need you to write for. And James Gunn is happy to do that.
Yeah.
And it shows that the symbiotic relationship between Marvel and James Gunn and all the actors works, because the first one is a phenomenal movie.
And I think they finally kind of hit their stride with that, letting kind of the Russo brothers do that.
Yeah.
And then letting James Gunn do that. I think James Gunn was really the poster child for that. The Russos kind of fell into that, and so did Peyton Reed, to kind of a lesser degree. Imagine going through two or three or four directors.
Well, Peyton Reed 15. Got put into a position where he was like, "You just need to direct this thing."
But so did Joe Johnson, though.
Well, but Joe Johnson was the right pick because of his background with Rocketeer.
God, I love that movie.
Like,
aww, that's a great movie.
Why are we having a black teenage Rocketeer?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, if you were going to make a Captain America film that takes place during World War II, the only person you go to is Joe Johnson
or Warren Beatty.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Warren Beatty might do a good job, but Joe Johnston, with his background and his like track record, there's nobody better to do that.
I like Jurassic Park 3. I'm just going to say it's
got its moments. But in the same way that I think you take somebody with the background of James Gunn and you put all these characters that everybody was like, this is not going to work. You have a talking tree that only says one line and you have a raccoon. Like, this is never going to work. And he turned around and said, fuck you guys, this is going to work. Yeah. And I'm going to show you how it's going to work. And two of the most memorable parts of Guardians is Groot and Rocket.
Both of them.
You know,
Well, that's the whole thing, is like, you, there, you never think that it's... I'm watching the movie yesterday.
Right.
And I never at one point go, oh, that's a CGI raccoon.
No, I mean...
You believe him as a character.
Yeah, and it's only gotten better. I mean, seeing... There are close-ups in this movie where you can count the hairs and the whiskers on his face, and it's so lifelike. You're like, that's got... Like, what... How... What are you doing?
They in Guardians 1, they immediately, the audience immediately empathizes with them.
Oh, yeah.
They're completely on board. Yeah. There's never a moment where you go, oh, well, the CGI in this is pretty good, the CGI in that's pretty good, unless you're really, truly looking for just that.
Right.
Never that way.
Right. And I mean, and we'll get to this in a little while, but I mean, I do think in this one, in Volume 2, there are some things that they do CGI wise where it's like, okay, like
I want to know those moments.
You're pushing
some
just
of the little
animals bit.
That Groot plays with.
Not just that, but fuck it, we'll just get to it.
Wait,
spoilers.
spoilers like forward. Yeah, we're gonna be talking spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie, turn this off, come back.
Because you're stupid if you haven't seen
Stop. there's a scene in particular where Groot comes and sits on Star-Lord's leg.
Yeah.
It's towards the end. And
Gamora's shoulder.
Well, and specifically Star-Lord takes his earbud out.
His earbud to
and puts it to him, and he puts his hand around Groot. And it's literally Chris Pratt not knowing the size of Groot. Yeah. And doing that weird awkward thing where he's trying to figure out how big he is.
Like, where do I put my hand?
And like Groot sits in the middle of his hand, but he doesn't have his hand wrapped around Groot.
Yeah. Right.
And there's things like that that happen where I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, they did an entire shot where, like, they CGI'd in the first film them sitting inside of Groot's, like tree sphere thing.
The sphere, yeah, the protection.
That, like, picks them up and, like, comforts them. Mm-hmm. And, like, that looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then, like, you can't get
his arm
this
to go
thing.
A little bit further
like,
around.
Like, in any other movie, and I don't know why they didn't do this, they would have just replaced Chris Pratt's hand with a hand
holding
Groot, and they didn't do it. And I'm like, okay, like this, you know how big this movie's going to be. Like, so there's little nitpicks like that. But
The budget was huge on this.
Yeah.
It was like $170 million.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if that comes from now shooting in Georgia as opposed to London, like,
or who was the final like finishing touch of going over all these CGI things?
Well, and there's a lot more CGI in terms of like environments in this movie, and
I think that was kind of the issue that I had with this movie overall, because I enjoyed the movie, but I didn't feel as connected with it as I did the first time.
Well, okay, so that was my second question: is where do you rate this in terms of the first movie?
Oh, it's
lower.
Yeah. Lower. Okay. Yeah. I feel the same way.
So two things. It's what I feared in the first movie, where it was too cosmic.
Okay.
Too much of that.
Okay.
Because there was never like a baseline of this is what's natural. And so, you know, because we weren't on the Milano very long.
Right.
We were never on a planet that wasn't completely computer generated.
Right.
And things like that. But also, the first one had a clear delineated plot.
Yes.
This one was not, there was no plot, but it was character driven.
There was subplots. Yeah. There were subplots that tied into the main story, but none of them was a main focus.
Which
and quite honestly, as much as I like Kurt Russell, don't think he's as big a villain as Lee Pace was, as Ronan.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he's literally a bigger.
I mean, so
he's everywhere.
Yeah. So I think one of the issues that a lot of times these movies run into is one of the things with Guardians is the first one is that the story, for as big as it is with the Infinity Stone and all that stuff, is that it's still a small story about Xandar.
Yeah.
Like Ronan is going to destroy Xandar because he doesn't like them.
Yeah.
And that's what this all focuses on. And when you get to, we have to save the universe, like Ego is going to destroy everything everywhere and they're going to rebuild it with him and Peter, you get stakes that are way above
the stakes that you've built.
What you've built, and it feels too big.
Yeah.
And
well, to have like a television show and to have all these other movies that obviously have to be affected by that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because before you have a cosmic threat that is out there, and if you open up the sky hole, then at that point you can, you know, pull things in. But at the same time, like, there's never that moment in this movie. There's just this huge blob-like creature that comes out of nowhere.
Right.
From the plants. And you have
to recognize that in the next movie if it's going to take place anywhere after that film.
Right.
I think the next movie that's going to recognize that is Captain Marvel?
So they'll have
or Black Panther.
Have like one of these plants in the rainforest or something?
Well, it's interesting because this film takes place 3 months after the first Guardians.
Right.
Which places it in 2014 right. in the timeline. So, so things like Ultron has not been invented yet.
Hmm.
Like the Avengers are still trying to find... What?
We don't know where Iron Man started, theoretically, do we?
I think it started in 2006. I mean, I think that takes place in 2006.
In real time?
Yeah. And they've been building it up, and like they've expressly said, this is not going to... Guardians 2 is not going to lead into Infinity War because none of that shit's happened yet in the timeline. That's why Groot hasn't grown. That's why when they show up in Infinity War, it's 3 years later.
Okay.
And so all this other shit has happened. So all that stuff that's happened on Earth has happened and nothing has been talked about.
Huh.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was kind of weird because we were expecting it to tie into Infinity War somehow.
Yeah.
Like, here comes Thanos, look at this. But Thanos... Like, literally, the shot in Guardians of the Galaxy where Ronan kills whoever his little flunky is.
Yeah.
That's almost immediately after the Avengers. So, like, all the shit is kind of taking place simultaneously, but in the realm of these movies, it may seem like 3 years, but in reality, it's only 3 months.
And then Spider-Man's supposed to take place before Avengers as well.
Homecoming?
A part of it does, yeah.
Really?
It takes place before, yeah. Because it takes place before, at least Avengers, before, yeah, it has to. Because the Avengers Tower is still there.
Well, the Avengers Tower it will be there because that building is still...
I think it, hold on, I'll find out.
Do they rebuild?
It's still technically in New York.
They're kind of shifty on the timeline as far as everything goes.
Well, because it would have to be after Civil War.
Yeah.
I don't think it takes place after Civil War, though.
Homecoming. It would have to, because he's got the suit. He gets the suit taken away from him at some point movie, and then got to go fight in his old...
Part of it doesn't. I think it may, like, start...
Crossover?
Before Avengers or Avengers Civil War, and then jump.
Well, because he's only been Spider-Man for 6 months in Civil War.
Right.
Yeah. So it must cross over.
It's got it, yeah. I mean, it might be before Ultron by a little bit, but...
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope we don't have to relive him getting bit by a fucking spider.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Oh, we don't need another origin story.
No.
No.
The costume Peter Parker is wearing is an older homemade Spider-Man costume with hoodie and cheap boots, but I think that was explained because he has the costume taken away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes to open the suitcase to Jon Favreau's Happy Hogan is delivered from Stark. We see that Parker still has old web shooter on.
Yeah.
But he could still be using
But he could be using...
Comparing the two.
Well, okay. And they may, like... He may tell the story to somebody of how he got the suit.
Yeah.
And the thing.
Like his buddy.
More than likely, yeah. Yeah. So I think, like, it kind of jumps around in time a little bit. Is okay. What I'm thinking is going to happen. Yeah, the Guardians timeline is always a little bit iffy for me as far as, like, when it takes place.
Yeah, so what they... From what Peter... No.
James.
James Gunn.
Peter Gunn is a television show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what he said was that this is 3 months later and it's 2014, so okay. it's not going to tie in. Nothing about this movie is going to tie into the other ones because we're living in the past.
Well, that was one of the questions that everybody had was, okay, well, this has happened. Why are people not responding to this at
right.
that
point? I don't know. So I, too, feel that it's not as strong as the first one. It's very... It's character-driven, but it's not plot-driven.
It feels like the second season of any strong show. Like, you take... I'm going to use... People are going to get mad at me for this. Desperate Housewives had an incredibly strong first season.
Okay.
Where there was a mystery at the middle of that season, and so it took the entire season, and then it wrapped it up in a nice bow.
Right.
But season two happened because... So we're done. because you have to basically tell the next chapter in that story.
Right.
It's not as interesting because, or maybe it's not as interesting, it's not as strong, I should say, because of the fact that you have, in the first season, in the first film, pulled all these characters together to tell the story that you need to tell.
Right.
But the goal of a second movie is to keep all the elements that were interesting in the first one, and to come up with a plot line that makes it natural for them want to stay together.
Right.
The progression needs right. to be natural, yeah.
And so that's where this movie kind of failed, because you literally sent them to the five different corners of the galaxy, and there's no real strong reason for them to come back together other than, you know, what's built into the film.
Right.
Which works and doesn't work.
It's right. family.
Family. Yeah, it is Fast and the Furious, Guardians of the Furious Galaxy.
They mentioned that several times.
I'm Groot.
Question.
Yeah.
Deadpool? Are we counting Deadpool?
Yeah, that is definitely not part of the Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe, no.
That is
That's barely part of the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is literally a line of which doctor or which professor, Stewart or McAvoy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sorry.
So yeah, I agree. I don't like when because it feels like a serious trope of, like, you pick up however long later in a second film and nobody's getting along.
Yeah.
And it forces them to split up, which is, like, formula here.
It is,
like,
super formulaic.
Like, and then something happens to bring them all together at the end.
But those characters
It's all
are
family
so
feuds.
Strong.
You've got it the is. Sisters and you've got
And Star that's Lord. What I think works for this is, like, Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista and Zoe Saldana.
And Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
And Sean Gunn. Who's played
Sean Gunn and even Vin Diesel have created characters that you care about no matter what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's obvious because for as weak as I think this movie is in places, it's still going to be one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
Because of
Gert's
those.
Adorable.
Yeah, and those characters and how how Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark, mm-hmm. Chris Pratt is Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Like, nobody else could play Peter Quill at this point.
It's not the misstep that Iron Man 2 was.
No.
It's...
No, but Iron Man 2 suffered from writer's strike and having to bring out the movie on a specific date. And
Marvel's there are a handful of movies that suffered from Marvel's involvement.
Yes,
Ultron being one, and I think
yes.
Iron Man 2 being the other.
And Iron Man 2 because there was this, let's connect everything, yeah. And we'll introduce the Tesseract in this, and like you're gonna like it's gonna connect to everything else, and
I think
it's like well sometimes you have to. Make the movie suffer to be the stepping stone, I think is what some movies.
Right.
Back to the Future Part 2 is the main one of that. But I mean, that's the whole thing is that Guardians shouldn't be the stepping stone to Guardians 3. It should be its own film. Yeah.
No, but I will say on the positive side, I feel like there were a whole bunch of burning questions at the end of Part 1. Mm-hmm. Who's Peter Quill's father? Like they started down this path of, where are they going? What are they going to do? And this answers all of it.
Yeah.
And it gets all of this out of the way.
But did you want to have all those questions answered?
Well, no, but I think Marvel in their way of thinking wants a clean slate for after Infinity War.
Yeah.
I think they want to go on bigger adventures with the Guardians. That's why they got Sylvester Stallone involved.
That's the original Guardians team.
Yes. That's
amazing.
Why they did that at the end, so that they could put that together and be like, what if this group of Guardians and this group of Guardians
yep.
gets together?
I just want to see this group of Guardians.
I'm the Sylvester
Stallone.
Right,
I want to see that so badly.
You know, it's ingenious of like bringing that entire thing back and being like, all right, here's the first team from the comic books.
Yeah. I want to see Miley Cyrus. No, Miley Cyrus is a voice.
Yeah.
Of the robot.
Oh, gotcha.
I want to see Miley Cyrus, Ving Rhames, Michelle Yeoh, Serpent Dude, and Sylvester Stallone take off in a spaceship. I want to see that almost worse than I want to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
But like all the things that weren't answered. Why didn't Yondu go after Peter afterwards? Why is it 3 months later and like they're no closer to finding Peter's father and blah blah blah? Yeah. All this stuff. They were like, well, if we answer all this now, we can do Adam Warlock. And, like, the better stories after this one.
But, see, Infinity War begs for Adam Warlock to be there.
I know.
I remember that as a kid, that gauntlet on the front with Adam Warlock.
Yes.
You know, on the cover in glistening gold. Mm-hmm. And, no, it literally, it when you, it's...
Oh, the
it's
comic book itself embossed. Is foil. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just remember the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, yeah. That was...
It does, but I think...
Because there's nobody in the Marvel Universe currently, maybe Doctor Strange, that could defeat Thanos.
Yeah.
Probably. Not Doctor Strange, like, as he is in the end of Doctor Strange, but, like...
Like the true...
Yeah.
Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah. Like, if he becomes a Sorcerer Supreme by the time Thanos rolls around...
Yeah.
I'm super excited about
that. I mean, and it seems like it because of the mid-credit scene of... Doctor Strange, where Thor shows up, and Doctor Strange is talking about like we've been keeping tabs of everybody on Earth, mm-hmm. and like I know when one of you guys comes down here, like he's already further on his journey than we're led to believe.
And I'm very 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 excited because I feel like you're not going to see any more of these films after Phase 4. You're not going to see Captain America this, or you're not going to see Iron Man this. You're going to see Black Widow and Hawkeye, which is the movie that I really want to see. Okay. You're going to see Doctor Strange is actually going to be in Thor.
Right.
Ragnarok. So you're going to see a whole lot of team-up movies.
Which is fine. I mean, I love when they team up. Like Civil War is basically Avengers 2.5. Yeah. So they're very comfortable doing that, and they do it pretty well. They're really good at like bringing in other... new faces like Black Panther and all that kind of stuff and making it all work together.
Without distracting and without like taking away from that person.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain why Black Panther became Black Panther.
Right. They might in the standalone movie, which I hope they don't. But
I don't mind like an explanation for the audience, like a tiny 10-minute thing.
Right. And like they're already pushing like right before his accident in Doctor Strange, he gets that call about what patient do you want?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
one of them is Captain Marvel, who gets struck by lightning, and the other one is Rhodey, who gets hit. So which places it right at the towards the tail end of Civil War.
Yeah.
Which means his journey of becoming Sorcerer Supreme is a little bit ways back, so that they can build him up by the time Thor shows up.
Then Winter Soldier actually mentions him before he actually even has any powers, which is awesome.
Which is really weird, but like,
well, I mean, you potential.
Yeah,
that's all that is.
Yeah, that's what that was.
The potential threat.
Yeah.
So.
So I think Guardians. Well, you're still going to see Guardians movies. I think it's going to be not necessarily the core team. Like
they said, the third one is going to be the core team,
right.
And that will be the last one with that,
right?
So to speak.
I mean,
what do you mean? Like it'll be the last Guardians.
You won't see
it'll be more. Yeah, it'll be like the five main Guardians.
I gotcha.
And then after that, they'll start swapping people in.
Maybe you'll get some Venom in there. I'm excited about Agent Venom flying in space.
I mean, it would be interesting because in the comic books, Ronan is a member of the Guardians at one point.
He's pretty much dead.
So maybe they bring him back. Like
I just want to see the Red Skull again.
Well, that might be really coming cool. too.
I want to see that in Infinity War so bad. But Hugo Weaving is such a butt face about that.
Is he? Why is he a butt face?
Or is he just saying that?
I'm hoping that he does, man. Well, I've heard him talk about Transformers, and for some reason he has kind things to say about those movies. I've heard him speak about...
Well, when you get paid a shitload of money to stand in a booth and talk, you're going to have nothing but nice things to say.
He talks about, like,
3 hours in a makeup chair with the whole red face thing on?
He was not... I don't understand why, because his performance is brilliant.
I mean, I think with the advancements they've made with de-aging And
no CGI, or practically no CGI used on Kurt Russell.
Right.
Makeup.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So those advancements, the things that they've done, like, was it Civil War or Peggy Carter?
Yes.
No, it was Winter Soldier where he goes to visit Peggy Carter. Yeah. They didn't have any makeup on her. No age makeup. They digitally aged her.
Yeah.
So why can't they do that with Hugo Weaving?
Facebook
and,
can do it.
And yeah, I mean, there would be ways to bring him back.
Yeah.
And he fits into the
Make
cosmic
that man
thing.
Happy.
And,
bring
yeah.
him back.
Well, everybody's like, oh, he's dead. But he just got sucked into a portal.
So they said the same thing about Loki. I mean, the same thing pretty much happens to Loki at the end of Thor.
I think there's a difference when you blow up Ronan, and I think there's a slight difference when you basically crumple up.
What if Ronan was sucked into the stone, and then
into the Infinity Stone?
Into the Infinity Stone somehow, and then when he comes back, like when Thanos gets defeated, like Thanos shows back.
Do you have an issue with the? Any of that is possible. Yeah. Like, I mean, because Red Skull could have been sucked into
he sucked into the Tesseract.
Yeah. But now that's in Vision's head.
No, not the Tesseract. The
Tesseract. The
Mind Stone, that was in the Scepter.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
Which ones have we not? Well, there's only one that we haven't been introduced to.
Infinity Stone.
Yeah,
because you got the red one. I'm just gonna call it by colors. I'm sorry, I don't remember the names right off top. The red one was introduced in Thor: Dark World. Then the purple one's introduced in Guardians. The Tesseract was the blue one,
mm-hmm.
And then
the green,
the yellow one was Vision. So the green.
So green
one
is still.
Left.
Okay, here we go. Infinity Stones. Google. Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I just have a feeling you're going to kill Vision, and he's one of the coolest characters. Because you have to take the Mind Stone out in order for him to have...
Yeah, well, it's part of him.
Okay, let's see. I don't care about the Dark Elf conflict. Come on.
This is the endless...
Can't you just fucking tell me? Can't you just list them? Do I need a history on every fucking one?
Do you need me to look it up, buddy?
No. Hang on.
Okay. Because people are listening, I would assume. Maybe they've stopped at this point.
No.
They haven't stopped listening?
I don't know. They might have.
I'm going to say
I just want a list. I just want a list of where they are. The Infinity Stone guy. Here we go.
Infinity Stone.
Okay, so there's the Mind
and Vision,
which is the blue one.
Oh,
that's the Tesseract.
That's the Tesseract.
That's the Tesseract. The Power, which is red, which
that's
is the one
Thor.
I.
Thor.
Yes.
Dark World.
Reality, which is yellow.
That's Vision.
That's Vision.
Soul, which is green.
That's the one we don't know.
Space, which is purple.
Which is in Guardians.
Guardians. And Time, which is orange.
Oh, I forgot orange.
Time.
Yeah. Because, wait, where is... Oh, because there's one on the actual... So you get one on each knuckle, and then you get one in the middle of the hand.
Yeah.
Okay. If they're following the right...
So man, orange and green.
How much did you freak out when the Watchers were introduced in this movie?
It's interesting because Marvel doesn't actually own the rights to the Watchers.
Doesn't Fantastic Four, so doesn't
yes.
Fox actually own them?
Yes, and apparently...
That's what made
was
me...
there an issue? Or?
Apparently what Kevin Feige said was that it's the same way that Quicksilver showed up in...
Oh, shit.
In X-Men and Ultron was it's not the same character. They said it was just different enough to where they were able to skirt the thing.
That's what gave me so much hope.
Yes.
That you were going to have the Illuminati.
No.
I just wanted the Illuminati so bad. I wanted freaking Doctor Strange and Iron Man and Reed Richards and whomever else is in the Illuminati, because I can't remember them off top, just chilling out in the room talking about crazy shit.
Was there an Infinity Stone in Doctor Strange?
No. Mm-mm. No, that's all done with model, whatever they are.
Okay.
Mama?
Yeah. I signed that.
I think that's okay. Signing.
No, it's not signing. It's the little metal things, and it comes from your brain and everything else. And it's turtle magic.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It's basically taking like the plane of reality in Ant-Man, where he actually like travels inward and does all that psychedelic mm-hmm. stuff. That it's basically focusing that energy from that plane of reality into the regular plane of reality. That's why they can basically go from point A to point B.
I just wasn't sure if time was in there because of everything that happened.
No.
Gotcha.
No, no. That's actually just a magic or science magic, whatever.
Movie magic.
Yeah.
Well,
so, what was I going to say? I don't know. So,
was it Infinity Stones?
No.
Okay.
I liked the music. I love the music.
The opening was brilliant.
And Guardians.
I did like the opening. I thought that the first one had a stronger soundtrack.
Soundtrack. Yeah.
I thought it was more recognizable in the first one. I think there are more songs on the first soundtrack where you go, oh, okay, I've heard that song.
Yeah,
even if you haven't, even if you don't know them, everybody knows Hooked on a Feeling. Everybody knows Cherry Bomb.
The ELO is always a good way to open a film.
Yeah. But say what you will. Okay, so think about it this way. If you were to make a mixtape for me, you would want me to hear all the songs that I know so that you can introduce me to that music. But if I'm making another mixtape from you, it's basically going, okay, you like this one. I think you're going to like these songs as well, but you don't know them as well.
I guess.
So now maybe people will seek out that other music that they didn't know as well?
Think about it. Star-Lord's mom may have been thinking that.
Well, that was always a thing. Like, she was sharing with her son all of her favorites.
Right. So I recognized all the music, even Jay and the Americans.
Right, yeah. And Ego even says, like, she knew every song that ever came on the radio and blah, 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 so.
But that just could have been her ego talking.
I mean, I did like that opening scene. I do like, you know, young Kurt Russell running around.
That Jay and the Americans scene, though, come a little bit closer with the arrow flying through the spaceship.
Oh, that was pretty.
I was just
crazy.
Like.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That was one of the moments for me, the jaw-dropping moment, because I'm like, you're going to play this whole fucking song.
Yeah.
And that's going to be awesome, because I love that song. We've seen them in concert, too, but it was the second J, not the third J, song.
At the fair.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I liked the music, but I think, like everything else, it just wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah. It just missed something. It was a shadow of its former self.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the opening. I liked the fact that they were focused on Groot and everything was happening behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Out of focus. Like, that's ballsy to open your film. Yeah.
Did you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Zeppo episode.
I think it's ballsy that you open a film, a major like summer temple film like that, where
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just so out there, and like, you know, you're still focusing in on characters, but you're not showing what they're doing
at all.
Like, everybody's trying to save Groot. They're like, you're gonna get hurt. Move.
Yeah, he's waving hi to people, and they're just like,
hi.
Okay, go.
Go away.
It's very much like having a kid. It's very much like the little kid comes up and goes hi, and you're like, I'm busy. Okay. Like, stop. Go away.
Yeah.
Because I do that to my daughter all the time.
I go away?
No. Yeah, well, sometimes. Okay. Sometimes she comes in here and I'm doing something. I'm like, hey, okay, go back downstairs and watch TV.
That's great. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Glad you're still here.
Yeah.
This is why I don't have children, because that would be our entire relationship.
Wow. So, I like I said, I do like the fact that they kind of tied up some of the things, like... Like, the Ravagers would be pissed at Yondu for not going after Quill, and why, and like Yondu has his reasons.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things that I never realized. Like, I didn't realize that question was unanswered until, like, it happened in the film.
No.
And I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
I mean, they were so adamant about getting the stone at the end of that movie that if they realized that he had, like, fucked them over,
then they would have gone.
They'd want to go after Quill.
Right.
And, you know, it's been 3 months. Why haven't you gone? You know, Yondu's in a really weird place at that point.
Yeah.
He's having sex with robot women, apparently. And, like.
Don't we all?
In that universe.
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
I traveled to Japan.
Glad oh.
And then, like you get introduced to Sylvester Stallone. And like, I thought that was going to be stunt casting, but I actually liked...
Yeah, me too.
Like, everybody that ends up in this movie...
Has a purpose.
And, like, there's cameos galore.
Yeah.
There's, like you said, there's Ving Rhames, there's...
Michelle Yeoh. And Miley Cyrus.
Wait, yeah, well... I mean, even there's... You probably don't know who he is, but the admiral of the gold people, whatever the fuck they're called.
I couldn't remember him.
That is Ben Browder. Ben Browder was in Farscape.
Okay.
He played John Crichton in Farscape.
He's the main guy in Farscape. Yeah. Thank you.
He played Cameron Mitchell in...
That's him?
Yes, that guy right there. He played Cameron Mitchell in the last couple of seasons of Stargate SG-1. James Gunn is a huge fan of Farscape.
Nice.
Was like, I have this role, who do I put in there?
Huh.
What the hell is Ben Browder doing?
When did you see this movie?
The Thursday night.
Okay, gotcha.
Thursday night opening that they do. And they threw in little Farscape things. They talk about like the Farscape ship that he travels in the TV show, is they refer to it as his module. And there's a scene where he talks about how all his modules were destroyed at one point.
Nice.
And it's like, okay, like James Gunn is smart enough to be like, this is where you know him from, but we're going to paint
him
gold
even further.
And we're going to have him say shit that you're like, why does that sound like the dude from Farscape? And why is he talking about modules?
They did the same thing like in the first one where you have like Lloyd Kaufman sitting yelling and like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. And apparently Nathan Fillion was supposed to be in this one too, and they cut him out.
I can't imagine how much shit they cut out of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's why I feel like there was those five post-credit scenes. Is like they'd taken things and were like, we really want to do this, but we have to cut it out
but
of the film.
We can't put you in the movie.
So let's put it here.
Yeah.
And then you pop up Howard the Duck twice.
Once at the end and once in the movie.
I really want to see them do some Marvel. I want to see them do that fourth movie a year where it's a February release, where you can do a $30 million Howard the Duck movie.
Yeah.
You know, in the same vein as Deadpool.
Right.
A $30 to $50 million film.
Stop hitting that thing.
But you know, I want to see. That's the one thing I think Marvel's missing, because I feel like they have like larger scope television, like Avengers or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as it were. They have the smaller scope television. They're gonna have like the medium scope television, like, or even smaller, where you've got like Cloak and Dagger,
right?
And those, and I think that's what's missing from the overall cinematic universe is these smaller corner of the galaxy,
right?
Stories like Howard the Duck.
Yeah, and like
it
they
needs
went
to be R-rated.
Yeah, and they go out on a limb in this one, and like they connect it to Thor at one point when they're doing all the jumps.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
There's Jeff Goldblum pops up in the credits on the side. Like there's all kinds of shit that they're just like, look, this is just a giant thing now. Yeah. Like people are gonna pop up when you're not expecting them.
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah. But I do love that James Gunn has a sense of, he knows who the science fiction fans are. He knows what people want to see. And like, even if you're not in it for very long, like we're going to give you a cameo because God damn it, I liked your show. And I appreciate like what you did for science fiction.
This is like my thank you to.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like he was better fit than like Joss Whedon was after the Avengers. Cause I feel like Joss Whedon is like, thank you for letting me into your playground.
Right.
These are the toys we need you to play with. Okay. That sounds great. Let me see what I can't do with it.
Right.
And I felt that resistance in the second film. Whereas I didn't feel the resistance in this one. He's just like, let me play with more toys. Do you have more toys that I can play with?
Right.
And there's a joy even though the film isn't as strong, that's why I think everybody's engaged and I want to go see it again.
Right.
Because there's a joy in that film.
Yeah,
on every level that you can tell.
Yeah, I mean,
which was not present.
My other criticism about the film is some of the visual effects. Most of this was shot on a blue screen stage, and it shows
Attack of the Clones shows.
Well, one of the biggest things for me is how do the characters fit into the background. I've done enough compositing work in my day where I can look at something and be like, "That's in a studio."
Yeah,
like. And Marvel is really big on that because they're all about secrecy and right. making sure that you don't see anybody. Like, they knew that Sylvester Stallone was on stage, but they didn't know what he was doing or who he was or, like, yeah. nothing leaked before that about any of his involvement. There were theories, but nobody knew exactly who he was.
Right.
And
I didn't even know until I got home and researched it yeah. after watching the film.
Yeah, so looking at things like Ego's planet and even the planet that they crash land on that's all in the trees, mm-hmm. that's obviously a soundstage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I enjoyed about the first one is, like, when they're on Xandar, they're in London. Like, they're on the whatever they call it, the Freedom Bridge, or whatever that walkway is in London. Yeah. And they're just adding things to the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That all looks great. And here, like, they're standing on Ego's planet and they're dancing and it's like, it looks a little out of place.
The issue is that nobody gave two shits about Guardians of the Galaxy the first time. And now it's like pretty much the biggest thing, Marvel property after Iron Man.
Right.
So, I mean, it made 165 million, 180 million its first weekend.
It's, well, globally, it's almost 500.
Half a million, yeah. So half it's a looking billion. To, you know, outpace everything this year.
Wow. Yeah.
Except for Beauty and the Beast, maybe.
Guardians just needs more gay characters.
There were so many, like, references to like, Disney things. I can't remember all of them.
In Guardians?
Yeah. There were, like, a couple of things that were said. Finding Nemo. There's a Finding Nemo reference.
Is there?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't look this up, so I don't remember the exact place or anything. But I remember a Finding Nemo reference. And I want to say that there was maybe a Beauty and the Beast one. Maybe Lilo and Stitch.
I mean,
that would be awesome if it was Lilo and Stitch.
It doesn't. The only reason it doesn't fit is because Peter would have been gone long before any of those movies came out.
Well, no, I mean, just the fact that they, I don't know.
I mean, I believe you. I mean, I'm not calling you out. I'm not saying liar.
You could, but you know. It's coming. I can't remember the exact line, but I remember at least two, like, just off top when I was watching it.
Because the first one,
Cosmo was in there too.
The first one happens in, like, starts in 1980.
It was late 80s because it had to be, because I don't think, like, Cheers even. I don't even understand why he knows Cheers.
Because I'm trying to remember what he says, because I always thought it was like 84.
Maybe I always thought it was like, no, he has to be like 8 to 10.
Right.
So this has to be between, like,
well, that's why I couldn't figure out when they kept saying it was 1980 in the beginning. I was like, does that work out with how old he is when she dies?
Yes.
Okay.
He's 34.
He's 34. So
he basically was born in 81.
Okay.
Late 80, early 81. So he's actually just a little bit younger than I am.
Okay.
So, yeah, that does make sense, actually.
Okay.
34 years later, it says. So it is 2014.
Yeah.
Not that I was doubting you at all. But
well, you don't have to doubt me. You have to doubt the director.
Okay.
Director is the one who said it. I'm just repeating.
No, that's true. Well, it has to be. but yeah, it has to be late because he's like 8 to 10. So he has to be abducted between 88 and 90.
It might say 1989 when the movie starts.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So he's like 8.
Yeah.
Or so. So he would know Cheers because that's, again, how old I was, and I was a huge fan of Cheers. Okay. I just had contact with it along after that. So,
Well, that's why, I mean, I don't know where the Disney references come from, but if it's Peter saying them, then it's a little out of...
Well, there are a couple things that feel out of time.
Well.
But,
Even the... Well, no, I guess even the Knight Rider thing would work. Because Knight Rider's mid-80s.
82, 84 to 86, 88.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. It was on for 4 years.
Yeah.
He could even make A-Team references if he wanted to. Same time period. Probably too violent for him. Not as much of a kid's movie.
No.
So what was your favorite part of the movie?
Honestly, the Rocket, Yondu, Baby Groot stuff. Like they literally stopped the movie to do a running gag of him bringing back the wrong stuff.
Yes.
And like that could have killed any other movie, yeah. But because it's Baby Groot and Rocket and Yondu, it works.
Can I step on it? No, he's too cute to kill. Anybody knows that. That was so weird. They actually acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he is just pretty much the cutest thing ever in film.
I mean, even the stuff like with Taserface, where he's making fun of him, and Taserface is like, it's metaphorical, and it's like, who would say that? Like, that is just so taking you out of the movie to be like, we understand this is a stupid premise, and like, this dude is just completely an idiot, but...
It would kill, yeah, you're right, it would kill any other movie.
Yeah, but it works in Guardians too.
Yeah.
As much as I love Kurt Russell, I don't love him in this movie.
I don't know if he was given that much to do.
I feel like he was the weakest part, and I don't think he's as big a threat as other characters they could have put in his place.
One thing I did love was when they took out, like, the long shot.
Oh, the planet?
Yeah, and he actually had the eyes and the beard.
Yes.
Just like in the book.
Yeah.
Yes, and you know, that was something they were like, you're never going to see him as the planet, blah, blah, blah. And they were able to put that in, like, it works.
It works.
Of what's happening at that time, that works. And but I don't think, like, everything that happens on his planet with Mantis and all that other stuff with... Like, I love Drax. I love the fact that they gave him way more to do and way more comedic stuff to do in this. But at the end of the day, he's the muscle of the team, and he didn't really do a whole lot.
He wasn't muscly. Yeah.
No, he didn't have a whole lot to do other than, like, call Mantis ugly. And it's like...
Well, neither did Peter.
No, and I think that's the problem with this movie is that it's still an entertaining film, but... The main people don't have anything to do.
You gave away all of, like, it is Peter's relationship with Gamora and the complications with that, and then those complications with Drax, and then you kind of added on Rocket and Groot.
Right.
And I feel like Disney goes, yeah, we love that stuff with Marvel or with Rocket and Groot. So why don't we put more of that in?
Right.
And it was given over to them, whereas. They work best as side characters, specifically the one that all they can say is, I am Groot.
Right.
So, it was still character driven all the way through.
No, absolutely. And it's strong enough to stop the movie to do those, to do those things where it was in the trailer, but like him going over the bomb.
Hilarious.
It's still funny in the theater and it still holds up and you're still like, in any other film, that would take you out. Yeah. But, like, the whole thing that was added where Peter's, like, asking everybody whether they have tape.
Yeah.
And it's off screen and it's just on Rocket.
Nobody has tape.
And he's just kind of, like, he's looking around and he's like, come on, let's go. Like, I got shit to do. And then Peter comes back and he's like, nobody's got tape. You asked everybody. Yeah. Did you ask Nebula? Well, no, she was sitting right next to him. Like, that would kill any other any other movie, but because of those characters, they can just play that.
And I think this one kind of played along the same lines as Slither.
Yeah, I can see that.
It has the same timing as a lot of stuff in Slither. I feel like it went further in the direction of being a James Gunn film in this film versus the original film. The first one had so much structure to it that I was like, wow, he's really grown as a director and a writer. And then the second one comes out, and I was like, maybe not quite as much as he needs to.
I think maybe they had the reins on him a little tight in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, you have to follow this and this.
So, piece of trivia.
Uh-huh.
In the comic books, it says that he is from a different place than they make him come from in this movie.
Yes. They changed his parentage.
Yondu actually is his father in the comic books.
No.
Right?
No. I'm talking about...
No, he's the son of a prince.
Where did the Star-Lord's mother live?
I don't know.
Well, originally in the comic books, it's supposed to be Colorado.
Okay.
But because James Gunn is actually from Missouri. He changed it.
And in the original comic book, Star-Lord was actually a cop. He's a part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a peacekeeping group. It's kind of like...
More along the lines of what?
It was Marvel. It was almost Marvel's stab at Green Lantern Corps.
Oh.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy and the Nova Corps were working together. he was a part of that when he joined this offshoot of criminals.
I bet.
And he's the son of a prince in the comic books.
We need to talk to our friend about that.
And
our friend's huge.
Yeah, and they literally, James Gunn was like, we're changing all that because we know we know who we want as his father. And
yeah,
when they cast Kurt Russell and said he was playing Ego, they were like, okay, I guess I can kind of go with that.
Yeah.
Well, they did reference Mary Poppins.
Yes, they referenced Mary Poppins, which he would have known.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because it came out in 66.
Yeah.
68.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched Mary Poppins as kids all the time, yeah. So.
I hated that movie for a long time. I hated that and Wizard of Oz.
But see, that's part of that thing of do the same thing from the beginning, or do the same thing as the first movie, but do it bigger.
Yeah.
So in the first movie, they reference Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Or no, Kevin Bacon. They do the thing about Kevin Bacon, and Gamora was like,
yeah,
we're just like Kevin Bacon. And in this one, it's like
that specific reference.
Yes. And in this one, Yondu is like, I'm Mary Poppins. So it's that thing of like, yeah, take what's funny from the first one, put it in the second one, just give it to somebody else to say.
Yeah. And I thought it was well handled with the actual David Hasselhoff cameo.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of nuts.
Yeah. All of a sudden it was like, holy shit. Okay. Like, David Hasselhoff's having a great year. They remade Baywatch. They put him in this. Like,
yeah.
I think he's actually supposed to be in Baywatch too. Are you excited about Baywatch?
No.
All right.
I don't think that they need to remake any of that shit. They didn't need to do Chips. They don't need to do fucking Baywatch.
Did you like 21 Jump Street?
No.
You didn't like it?
Nope.
Oh, man.
I will say 21 Jump Street had the best cameo of Johnny Depp. Like, I thought that was good.
I never saw that coming.
No. That was a brilliant thing that they did, but at the end of the day...
Did you see 22 Jump Street?
No.
It's brilliant, too.
No, I have issues with Channing Tatum.
I think everybody has issues with Channing Tatum.
There's very few things I've seen him in where I'm like, oh, the dude can act.
No, he cannot act.
I mean, what was the thing that I saw him in that kind of turned me around on him a little bit?
Step Up?
No.
I may have been... shit, what is it? Hail Caesar?
No, I didn't see Hail Caesar.
Magic Mike?
No.
How many copies of Magic Mike Triple XL do you own?
None.
All of them.
All of them. I own all of the copies.
All the copies.
Shannon?
Oh, it was funny when they called him a trash panda.
Yes.
It's an internet meme.
Yep.
A Reddit meme or something like that. Oh, trash panda. God,
trash
was
panda.
Funny.
And then he was like, Rocket's like, I don't know if that's better or worse. And he's like, it's totally worse.
It's totally worse.
the dialogue is on point.
The Hateful Eight.
That of all movies? You
So, okay, here's my theory, though. If Quentin Tarantino is going to put you in a film, you have to have some chops. Like, Quentin Tarantino is just not going to cast you because you're a big name. He's going to cast you because...
He wants something from you.
Yes. And the fact that he put him in there, I watched that and I was like... I see a different sign of Channing Tatum.
Okay.
But everything else, I'm like, eh.
I think 21 Jump Street was really different from what it was doing before as well.
And I don't like the other dude.
Jonah Hill?
Yeah. I don't like
also
Jonah
Hill. Also in Hail Caesar.
Yep.
22 Jump Street is like the most meta movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is it?
Yeah. Because at the end credits,
mm-hmm.
they do 23 Jump Street, 24 Jump Street.
I heard,
all the way
through
like 35.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend you watching just the end credits on YouTube. So what's the final analysis? Where do you want to see it go from here?
Well, I mean,
since you've got the ego mane going on right now.
I don't have a mane. I just got my hair cut, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, but you can.
Are you just talking about a
beard? If anybody's got a mane in this room, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's time for the little snip snip.
My mom's taking me for a haircut. That is actually the truth.
Taking me for hair.
Now you look like Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder.
Oh my god. Like,
wow. Bringing it back to Tropic Thunder.
Man.
Week two.
Is
Tropic Thunder a running guy?
No.
It's
gonna
be now.
So, oh Jesus. I'm interested to see how they are placed into Infinity War.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they interact in Infinity War.
Because you're talking about 5 years?
Three.
No, no, no. Between where they are now in Guardians 2 versus where they'll end up in Guardians 3.
Yes.
Because Guardians 3 will take place after Galaxy. Or
Infinity War. So, yeah. And, I mean, they've already done the time jump a little bit as far as, like, there's that the end credits thing where he walks into the room and Groot's like a teenager.
Yeah.
So we're obviously farther down the timeline at that point. All kinds of adventures we'll never get to see. But
you don't know.
I feel like Infinity War has a lot of setting up to do as far as getting all these people together.
67.
Yeah.
67 what?
67 different superheroes will be on screen in that film.
I mean, whoa. it can't be Thor. Like, Thor's going to have to be the one that ties this shit together. But even then, he doesn't... Like, I don't see there's enough time in order to build something up in Ragnarok that will bring all these people together. Like, however they're going to do this, it's going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, you... I wonder if you're gonna how many characters you're actually going to bring in, and just bring in to have them there, like, because you're not talking about any of the television heroes.
No.
So maybe Phil Coulson. Maybe.
I doubt it. There's so many people. I don't think that they're gonna.
I really want to see him back in the Avengers universe, but I mean, you're talking about Iron Man. You know, so those 10 out of Civil War. And then who else is outside of that? I mean, the four Guardians, so that's 14.
Ant-Man, Wasp.
Wasp is not in there.
They said Wasp was going to be.
No, no, no. Wasp will be in Infinity War.
Right.
Because I think that movie comes out before?
No, after. I think that's the first one after.
First one after, right.
You got Guardians. You've got Doctor Strange. Black Panther.
I mean, there's 53 other characters. And that was, from what I understood, not hyperbole.
No, I mean, they're gonna, but it's, I think those 53 are gonna be fringe.
But even so, I mean, how do you introduce that many characters?
I'm sorry.
How do you introduce that many characters?
I don't know. That's what it's gonna be interesting. Like, when they were gonna do two movies, I was like, okay, well, maybe they just spread them out over two movies. But now that it's one.
And then they're doing an Avengers movie after that. That's kind of, I mean,
okay, so have you read the Infinity War comics?
It was been 15, 20 years.
Okay, so in the beginning of the Infinity War comics, Thanos wipes out a whole legion of superheroes. Like, just mows them down, and I wonder if that's what that is.
Yeah,
I wonder if they're just going to be like, you killed all these superheroes, and it's all going to be Easter egg shit where, like, you're going to have to look up and be like, oh, that's this person, and that's this person.
Well, that's what was so upsetting about Civil War. I kind of expected that from that.
Yeah.
Whatever the Runaways, or not the Runaways, that's DC. But whatever that group of people were.
Yeah.
Like Speedball or...
I don't
remember.
I mean, I would hope that...
Speedballs, actually.
That they have enough... And it's Marvel, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. But
they've earned it.
Yes.
If any studio has. If it were DC saying that.
I'd worry. But I think, you know, they've said that Infinity War is going to take a year to shoot. Like, they're talking about 12 full months in front of the camera.
Jeez. Wow.
If that's the case with the things that are coming out on, like, Chris Pratt's schedule... And Zoe Saldana is going to be doing all the Avatar shit.
I hope they get Star Trek 4 before that.
And you're talking Mantis, Nebula, and all the, like, fringe characters of Guardians that they're pulling in. They're not going to be in it for very long.
Yeah. It's going to be, like, quick cameos.
Well, I mean, even if you had, like, I mean, with 67 characters. So even if you had them on screen for 2 minutes apiece, that's still... the entire runtime of Guardians.
Well, and maybe it's a thing of, like, they bring everybody who is powered or whatever the Marvel version of metahumans are. Inhuman or whatever. They bring all those people together, and there's one shot of, like, all 60 of them in one shot, and that's all you get.
That two-page spread that you remember at the end of Infinity War.
Yep. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the thing where you're like, hey, we had all these people in here.
Yeah.
Like,
whatever.
I wouldn't mind that two-page spread.
Yeah.
a big splash.
So what do you guys want to see?
From Guardians 2? Yeah. I want Guardians to see a more 3. Personal story that's not so personal that it's for one person, if that makes any sense. Like, I want to see... I think what you're going to see is Gamora's backstory at that point. But I really would like to see them...
Well, I mean, they're pushing it as Adam Warlock, so... Well. It's going to be the big bad.
He's going to be the big bad? He's the Christ-like figure.
Yeah, but he's out to kill... Like, the whole reason he's getting made is to track them down.
He is her brother. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're kind of building that character incorrectly, I feel.
Wow.
But, yeah, I would like to see just something more... I feel like if you're running from them, that's the same thing we saw in the last movie.
Well, yeah.
So I'd like to see something more personal.
Okay.
You're obviously going to see Star-Lord and Mora getting together because they finally addressed the unspoken.
It's still
but
unspoken.
I mean, but by the time they end up in Infinity War, they might have been, you know, together and then not together.
Not together.
You just can't kill any of them. Those four are off limits.
Yeah.
I think you can see him. I'd be curious to see the relationship between Drax and Mantis.
I mean, I think what you end up seeing later on is when they split the movies off is a Rocket and Groot adventure on their own.
Yeah.
And
the
original Guardians.
Maybe the original Guardians, maybe just Star-Lord.
That would be a neat spinoff.
You know, I think Chris Pratt's too big a star to
let him go.
They just entice him with something else and be like, look.
What his quote was, he says, as long as Marvel has something for me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make sure that they always have something for me to do.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, he's smart.
Yeah.
I love him.
I mean, all that is his job security. He knows what's coming, when it's coming. Like, they may do one more Jurassic Park or Jurassic World movie, and then that'll be it. Like,
I need 9 more.
And you might get 9 more, but you're not going to get them with Chris Pratt.
That's fine.
I mean, I think they've got him locked into the point where, like...
Marvel's got him.
Yeah. I mean, and he'll have chances to go off and do other things.
Well, that's what I think is great about Chris Pine. Or not Chris Pine. Shit.
There's so many Chris. Chris Evans?
Chris Evans. Thank you. Chris Evans was like, when he came in, he started to do the first one. He's like, I'm going to do this 7 deal contract, and then I'm out the door. And then he came back like 2 movies in. He's like... No, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'll do this for as long as they will have me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's now his position of like, keep putting Captain America and shit because.
And Robert Downey Jr., you just keep giving him millions upon millions of dollars to be in a Spider-Man movie.
You know, and I think one of the things that Marvel has done recently is eased up on their workout regimens.
Yeah.
Because Thor is. Nowhere near the size that he was in any of the other films. When he comes walking out in that trailer into the arena, he's half the size that he was in the first Thor.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Couldn't you just plump him up digitally, though?
Well, you could, but then you're talking about...
Money.
Shitload of
like
money that you don't have to spend.
Frame.
So I think, you know, Chris Evans kept saying he wanted it to end because he was tired of working out.
Yeah.
He was tired of eating nothing. And I think they're like, all you got to do is be in good shape. You don't have to be muscly because we've already shown that. Everybody knows that
He knows what's underneath.
What's underneath.
Yeah.
We don't have to put you in skin-tight shirts. We're going to put you in these outfits.
These armors.
And nobody's really going to be able to see it. You know, Robert Downey Jr. is like, I don't have to work out at all. I just have to be thin and still fit in the Iron Man outfit.
Yeah.
And I think everybody who's come along, they've been like, you got to ease up on like...
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to show us with our shirts off.
Except for Brie Larson. She needs to be Superman.
Well, yeah.
Of course, she's already accomplished that.
But, I mean, you get the gratuitous shot in this Guardians of Chris Pratt without a shirt on. And he even said, he was like, this was way easier because I've stayed in shape.
Yeah.
And, like, I just had to ramp it up a little bit for that scene, and then I was out.
Well, because of Jurassic Park, I mean, he was shirtless in that as well.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely in the Marvel Universe, there's that probably, what's the word? That's the word I'm looking for. Competition between them of like, you know, Paul Rudd didn't need to be cut in Ant-Man.
But he was
because I think he was like, I'm hopping on this bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're doing a shirtless scene and I'm going to be buff as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen Paul Rudd look like that.
No. So I think there's that, but I think as they age and they get older, they're like, can we just not show me in this? And, you know, we
they're
can
do that. Well, that's all they
want to establish that.
Yeah.
Really, you know, it's age at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at Chris Evans too, I mean, he went from Johnny Storm, which was in good shape, to having to be Captain America, which was in phenomenal shape, and then having to maintain that because he was in Captain America, Avengers, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Avengers 2, all with like nonstop filming.
Yeah.
So he constantly had to be in that shape where he was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Stephen Amell on Arrow. Like Stephen Amell is like, the first season, they showed me with my shirt off all the time.
Yeah.
Now they have to give me like 4 weeks' notice before we're going to do it.
That becomes your job, like getting in shape and staying in shape for these movies.
And they did that in the beginning of the season where they were like, we want you to bare-knuckle box with your shirt off.
Yeah.
And he spent all summer building up to that, and now you haven't seen him without his shirt off for the rest of the season.
You also haven't seen a great plot.
I think this is much better than
season four,
last season.
Yeah, that's.
I will take this season any day of the week.
Yeah, me too. But it's just, I just feel like the scheduling has really drawn out the plot.
Well,
they really need to kind of figure out these. Well, we've had this discussion before. The 6-10 episodes.
So,
Guardians
2. I don't think not as good as the first one, but definitely. Better
worth
than
a
lot of the movies that they've put out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it falls right in the middle. It's a Doctor Strange. It's a Civil War.
I think it's better than Doctor Strange, personally.
Yeah, well. I don't know. I think Doctor Strange...
Doctor Strange is on the low end for me.
Though. Really?
Yeah. Well, probably because of all the CGI.
Well, there's that, but in a lot of ways, it's good, like though. Inception 2.0 with the folding buildings and like...
That's exactly how the comic books looked.
I know.
I thought it was 60s. Cool. Of course, we saw it in the Cinerama Dome.
Cinerama Dome, in L.A. You know, that one where you see all those letters that go...
That's where we saw it.
I don't know. I think, for me, Doctor Strange is probably one of the weaker heroes. But.
That's the whole thing, is like, when you're talking weaker, I mean, yeah, you've got an Iron Man 2, and you've got those, but I mean, like, Thor Dark World. Okay,
I mean,
well, give me Thor Dark World over anything that DC's got nowadays.
Even their crappiest move, which is either Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3. For me personally, it's Iron Man 3 because of what they did to
Mandarin.
Is still way better than a lot of other comic book movies.
And pretty much anything.
Like their worst is way better than most of the X-Men films.
Yeah. Or maybe X2.
And Logan. Like, I really liked Logan.
Deadpool.
Yeah. But, like, they're crappy movies I'll take in a heartbeat. And, you know, I think Guardians is up there. First Guardians is way up there. I think second Guardians is kind of in the middle.
That's the only struggle for me, is figuring out which one of those four.
Because
I liked Winter Soldier so much, but Guardians was so good.
Yeah.
But Iron Man is so good, and Avengers is so good.
That's
a struggle I'll take any day.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as, like, there are four movies that DC releases that are anywhere near that quality. You know?
I mean, on the other hand, though, we're at least getting attempts. And I would rather see a shitty attempt.
I don't know. I'm really tired of their attempts.
Well, I know. But I would rather see Batman on screen than not.
Yeah.
I would rather see Superman on screen than not. Like, even their worst attempts at a movie has pieces in it that I really like.
I just wish they would get one and just like knock it out of the park. I hope
Wonder Woman is
Wonder Woman.
I have no faith in Wonder Woman, but I really want to see it succeed.
Well,
they've got Xena.
There's nothing I
mean.
Who?
Xena, the warrior princess.
Who?
Wonder Woman.
She's not.
Is the mom?
Is she?
She's the mother.
No, she's not.
Am I crazy?
Yeah.
Look it up. Come on before the show ends. Somebody's got to look that up.
You look it up. You're quicker.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm not quicker than
you. That's totally her mom.
That's not her mom, dude.
Lucy Lawless?
Lucy Lawless isn't in the movie, dude.
All right.
Oh. I mean...
I've got it.
All right. We're now all looking at
Lucy Lawless. Lucy Lawless was in Spider-Man. So that's the plus. She was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for two episodes. She was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for one episode. She was in Ash vs. Evil Dead for 20 episodes. The Changeover in 2017.
Salem. Yeah, she's not... I mean, she's not listed as...
Yeah.
As being in the movie.
Yeah. Robin Wright-Penn is her mother. Oh,
Connie Nielsen?
Connie Nielsen... No. Not in that movie either.
Connie Nielsen, who's that?
She's from Nashville.
Oh, okay.
American Horror Story Season 1.
Okay. Well, Spin City.
Never mind then.
Spin City.
Yeah, bitch.
So you can't tell me that that is not the hottest show ever with Eva Mendes, Connie Nielsen, Carla Gugino.
Why am I thinking, why was I thinking her last name was Brittenton?
Connie Britton.
Connie Britton is from Connie Nashville. Nielsen? I don't know.
Well, you... you create more questions.
Well, I'm sorry.
All right, the last thing to wrap this show up. Connie Nielsen. I don't know if we're wrapping the show up. You do
what
you
want. We are.
Connie Nielsen, for those...
Connie Nielsen is Queen Hippolyta.
Queen Hippolyta.
Hippolyta.
Hippolyta in...
In the new Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah. That's who the mom is.
She was in the following. She was in Mission to Mars, Devil's Advocate, Gladiator. She was the wife in Gladiator.
The wife, the one that gets killed,
isn't she?
Or the mother of the kid who loves.
Oh, she's Maximus. The mother of the kid. Yeah, that's okay. The one. That's the one. All right. So Gladiator. Opinions on that? Yeah, I'm excited about the expansion of that universe. I think Thor Ragnarok was just the next step in Civil War, and so I'm curious to what I hope that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 does some of that.
And Ragnarok has the tone of Guardians that there's no way that as long as they follow that tone, I think it'll be good.
It's Watiti from what we did in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Thor Ragnarok is delaying where we did in the Shadows, which is the werewolf movie that's supposed to follow up.
Okay.
You're
just going to have to wait.
I know. I'm excited about the 60s and 70s vibe between Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok, that they're really picking up as far as the cosmic universe is going. Because that's when people were really into that shit anyway.
Right.
So.
All right.
Cool.
Any last thoughts on Guardians? No? No?
Bring Yondu back.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to kill him.
It was impactful, though.
It was. But, I mean, we're talking about a world where two people survived being out in space in the first one. You know, it's a little nitpicky, but, you know.
Could happen.
They burned him.
Could not happen.
Yeah.
Well, with the Infinity Gauntlet, anything's possible.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I do like that Marvel understands how big of an impact Sean Gunn has had and has moved that character into a position to be, like, an actual, like, major character in the next one and be like, okay, like, we're going to reward you for bringing all this shit to life.
Yeah.
And
especially Rocket.
Yeah.
He's the motion capture for Rocket.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, he did dual duty.
Nice.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper just walks in and fucking talks.
Says his stuff and that's it.
Yeah.
I wonder how much his performance impacted Sean Gunn's performance during motion capture.
I don't know.
Who went first?
Well, obviously Sean Gunn had to be on set in the motion capture outfit.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing now, like when they did the first one, nobody had any idea what Rocket would sound like or the inflection or how he would act. But this time they totally did. So does that change Sean Gunn's performance? Or does James Gunn say, no, do exactly what you did before. Let Bradley work off you.
Sean's
like,
been doing
there'd
for a
be
while,
weird.
Too.
Like, that would be so weird.
Yeah.
Like
that,
not to get off on a tangent, but. One of the things that I always wanted to ask Tom Wilson about from Back to the Future is when they had to reshoot all the stuff with Michael J. Fox. If he looked at what he did before and completely changed his take on the character because he was dealing with somebody.
A lot of that stuff wasn't even refilmed.
But I mean, his interactions.
I hate. He hated I don't hate anybody. Well, there probably are a few people. He hated.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Yeah. So. Because he'd like method act and like come up and like actually hit him and stuff. But then you get put into a position where they say, look, all that shit we're getting rid of, we're going to reshoot it all.
Yeah.
Do you as an actor go, I'm going to give the same exact performance? Or do you think about it and be like, I can do this now and this, this, and this?
Mm-hmm. I would ask him if he didn't like almost dislike Back to the Future now.
Well, he's going to be at MegaCon this year signing Back to the Future stuff. So okay. I think he's finally gotten around that bend of like,
I think everybody can make some about that movie.
Well,
he was great in, ironically, a Will Ferrell picture, The Other Guys.
Wow. Well. Okay, you say so. Okay. He used to have a podcast that I listened to all the time, and then he just kind of stopped. And
like, So Tom Wilson, bring back your podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure
we'll come on your podcast.
Okay.
What? Why don't you think anybody
can
listens
we go
to
on
us?
Another Nobody person's big. Podcast?
Yeah, we can have dance Tom Wilson dance.
I would like to see Tom Wilson dance.
Dance bit? No, because he's bigger than that. He was in The Other Guys.
Oh. Okay.
He transcends that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he transcends Back to the Future. And the same way that Michael Jackson.
Well, he transcends a lot.
Transcends death.
He's back to life.
All right, what do you want to plug?
Percy Patchett on YouTube. Watch it. Because I think the Curious George episode is funny.
There's 81 episodes?
87, I think.
87?
There will be about 110 pretty soon. So you can be viewer number 17 if you hurry.
Wow.
All right. And Kristen?
I'm on Twitter at SUD1183.
And, of course, if you want to get in touch with me, it's late. It's very late.
Tell me.
It's info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
Brandon.
Kristen.
Have a good week.
Woo.